Luke chapter 12. We've had missionaries for several weeks, and so I have to rethink sometimes. And I was preparing for Sunday morning this week, and then while I was doing that, I was thinking, man, I've got a lot of stuff I'd really like to say on Sunday morning. And then I realized, oh, yeah, I get to preach Sunday night, too. So no missionary tonight. And actually, we don't have any scheduled for a little while. The end of this month, the 31st, is a fifth Sunday, and the fifth Sunday, we have Jack Knapp is going to be here, and for that day, he'll do a combined Sunday school, and then he'll do a morning service, and then for the afternoon service, Jack Knapp has it's a program, and I'm involved in the program where it's like a radio interview, and I don't know all the details, so I'll tell you more about that. But that'll be our fifth Sunday fellowship, and then we're shooting for something else on that day as well. We're going to do a formal dedication of our building in the fall. We're going to try to get a lot of it done and completely finished. But we're going to do what we're calling a soft opening on the 31st. The 31st is a Sunday? Is that correct? Who's one of those? I'm pretty sure it's the 31st. Is a Sunday, but we're doing a soft opening for our gym, and the reason that we're doing that is because we want to be able to use it over the summer, and so that gives us 4 weeks to finish some things up there. In order to get a temporary occupancy permit, we have to have the bathrooms pretty well done, and so we'll be real close, if not finished by then. But what we'd like to do is, other than the people who have sneaked down there and shot a basket already, I know who you are. what we're trying to do is keep those baskets raised, and we're going to invite our alumni to come back, and any of our church people and visitors who want to come, and we'll do our normal Sunday service, and Jack Knapp will be here. We'll do the lunch and do the afternoon service, and then we'll go over to the activity building, and we're going to have a time where we do the initial shots in there. And so maybe we'll let the oldest alumni or we'll let, I don't know how we'll decide who gets to make the first shot on the baskets. But then I'd kind of like to do an alumni basketball game as the first game on there. If you see alumni, let them know we're going to do that the last Sunday of May. That's what we're planning to do right now. Who would our oldest alumni be from the academy? Sherry Channel? By about 6 months. Okay. So Sherry could be the first one to shoot a basket, as long as she doesn't hang on the rim. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be okay. Yeah. Maybe you should sit on Todd's shoulders. I didn't say she had to make one. Yeah. But I think that'll be a fun day. And then we'll be able to use the activity building after that through the summer. There are some things that we're going to finish, but we're not even working on them right now. For example, the kitchen, that'll be something that we'll do separately. And then the upstairs rooms, we'll do those after we get everything else done as well. Our goal is to get the activity building area, the actual playing surface and all of that finished, the two bathrooms, and then of course all the outside finished. And so within the next, hopefully, couple of weeks, the excavators will be back in here, and they'll rip out everything in the front, and that'll all be redone, new parking spaces and new parking area down here, and then they'll start putting all of the dirt back around the building. We have a little more work to do just from the building back up to the septic system and get all that plumbed in, but we should be pretty close on that. That also means we need your help. We're at the point where we're doing most of it, and so in the next 4 weeks, if you can be here any night to help, we can use help for that. And so do your best to be out, and we can give you a job where you can help us if you can possibly be here. All right, we're at Luke chapter 12. Let me tell you what we're doing this evening. I like, my favorite is just to start with a passage of Scripture and work through it and make sure you understand what the Bible is teaching. We've been on a topic today, and that topic is stewardship. And that was this morning the focus of things, that how are we, even in looking at missions, what would a steward do? If we're to ask God, how would we be involved in praying and giving and going? That as a steward, there would be some things that we would definitely do, because we realize that everything belongs to God and He entrusts things to us. But one of the things that I found as I did a study of stewardship, and this was not for today's message, but years ago, I did a lengthy study on stewardship in the Bible. And if you go back to the Old Testament, what we saw in Sunday school this morning, you find the idea of stewardship was well known in the Old Testament. And even when you come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus uses the idea of stewardship repeatedly to teach lessons. It was a concept that was very well understood, that somebody who was well off, affluent households, would have somebody who was considered the steward of the house. He was in charge of making the house run well. We think of somebody as maybe the foreman of a ranch or a business manager or something like that, a very similar position. But he was in charge of seeing that the master's wishes were fulfilled, the owner's wishes were fulfilled. And that steward got things for himself by agreement with the master, but he certainly couldn't abuse his position. And so as you look at this, what you find is that the motivating factor in good stewardship is really the key. What is the factor that motivates a steward to be a good steward? What causes him to say, you know, I want to do the best that I can? And there are a number of passages in the Bible that help us understand that. And so tonight I'm looking, rather than looking at an expositional study of each passage and going through every detail, I'm looking particularly for that. So when the Lord talks about stewardship, what is it that, or how does He use this motivating factor to cause us to think, here's what I should do? What are some of the things that we're responsible to do? And so the first passage I want to look at is one that you'll recognize the story. It's in Luke chapter 12, and beginning in verse 15 and down through verse 21. So Luke chapter 12, let's begin reading in verse 15. And He said unto them, this is the Lord, He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And He spake, or He told a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. It was very productive. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow or store my crops, bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater or bigger, and there will I store or bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, I have done a study of this parable with you years ago. I'm sure you remember all the principles that we looked at, right? Well, if you go back to those, and I actually pulled those out, when you study this particular parable, there are four lessons that we'll come away with. Lesson number one is that this is a lesson about covetousness. And so a person who is covetous is wanting something that the Lord has not given him. And so this person has focused on things. And up at the very beginning, he's talking about the abundance of the things which he possesses. He's considering these things his. What he's finding out at the end is the lesson that I told you in Sunday school, that the truth is that these things are not his. You don't take those things with you when you leave, and so they're really not yours. And the Bible teaches God owns everything. And so covetousness is wanting something that belongs to something else. Now, it is distinct from a drive or a desire to do well. That's not a bad thing. But covetousness means I want more and more and more. And I want things that other people have especially. All right, here's a second lesson. He clearly has a wrong philosophy of life. So if we're just studying this parable, we would find that this man has completely the wrong philosophy of life. His philosophy is, I'm going to store up all the goods that I can get. If I get more, I'm going to tear down my barns, build bigger. Again, it would be in contrast with good stewardship, where we prepare for the future. Nothing wrong with that. But this man's philosophy of life is, the things are what makes life good. And he's obviously not focused on anything else. Here's the third thing. And that is the temporal nature of things. And if I could redo that, probably would be the temporal nature of material things. And so these things that we spend a lot of time obtaining are very temporal. They're not things that last for good. They're things that will often go away very quickly. And then here's the last one. And really, this is what Christ was trying to focus on for us. He was trying to tell us in the very last verse, I want you to understand that you have the opportunity to be rich toward God. I think that's an interesting verse when you go down to verse 21. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So here is the Lord teaching a parable in which he says, God blessed this man with a lot of stuff, a lot of material goods. And this man took all these material goods and he used them purely for himself. Selfishness, he wanted more, he built bigger barns. There's no indication he was gracious or generous in giving to other people. He spent his life focusing on things and the things that he could possess. But he wasn't rich toward God. And he said, this is the way that many people treat life. They have a lot of stuff, but they're poor when it comes to their relationship with God. And he said, I don't want you to do that. And so the point of the Lord's parable is that there, when God gives you things, don't put the emphasis on that. The emphasis needs to be on the riches you have toward God. And so this man is kind of a very basic teaching lesson that's generic about stewardship. That God is the one who gives you things. And so he expects you to take care of them in the proper way. Now, let's move to a different parable, because this one then will make a transition. Go over a few chapters to chapter 16. And this one deals more specifically with those of us who would be believers. So Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 12. And the Lord said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man, which had a steward. And the same was accused or reported unto him that he had wasted his goods, or he was squandering his master's goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, or I'm not strong enough to dig, and to beg, I'm ashamed. I am resolved, or I know what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80, or 80 measures. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, or acted shrewdly, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends by means of the mammon, or friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations, or eternal dwellings. He that is faithful in that which is least, or faithful in the little things, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least, or he that is unrighteous in the least, is unrighteous also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that is the world's goods, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? This is an interesting parable. And again, I don't have time to go through expositionally and explain every part of it. But when you take this parable and you start to really break it apart, you have to go to the Lord's application, beginning in verse 9. Make friends of yourself, the people of this world. And he says, the point is in verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least, faithful in the little things, he's going to be faithful in the big things. And so let me just do this. I'm going to put three things up on the screen behind me again. And here's the first thing that I would tell you out of this parable. Jesus wanted us to understand we will give an account as stewards. In verses 1 and 2, this steward's going along, and apparently he's just acting as if he'll never have to give an account. And all of a sudden, the master calls him. He's been accused, and he calls him in, and he says to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? How can this possibly be that this is the way you have treated my things? This is the kind of steward that you have been. And the Lord is using this parable as a picture for believers. Because sometimes we can get lackadaisical, and the Lord gives us our time, talents, treasures, and truth, and we can get really lackadaisical and say, all right, I'm just going along in life. And the Lord says, you're going to give an account. You're going to answer for this. Here's a second lesson from this. It's never too late to start. Now, this man did not do his job well even in this parable. But he finally came to a place where he said, you know what? I'm in trouble. I'm in a lot of trouble here. Because I've not been a faithful steward. I better start looking out for the things that need to be taken care of. I better get serious about this. I'm about to lose my job. And I don't want to have to go out and dig ditches. I'm too old for that. I don't want to go beg for money. And so he finally takes the initiative to figure out how to take care of things. Something stirs him up. But the point of it is, it's never too late to start being a good steward. In this story, from a very non-Christian perspective, the master looks at him and says, well, finally, you're taking some initiative. He finally looked at him and said, you finally are acting like a steward ought to act. It's never too late to start. Here's the third thing. Begin with the little things. He said, if you're faithful in that which is least, you'll be faithful in the big things. And here is something that all of us need to recognize. Many times we stand back and say, well, man, if God would give me $1 million, then I'd give $100,000 to the church. And you remember the stories where people would say, you know, if you had $10, would you give $1 to the church? Well, yeah, I'd give $1. Well, what if you had $100, would you give 10 to the church? Yeah, I'd give 10 to the church. Well, what if you had $1,000, would you give 100 to the church? Well, yeah. What if you get 10,000, would you give 1,000? Well, I don't know, 1,000's a lot of money. I don't know if I'll give that much. And so what's the Lord say? All right, I'll give you 1,000. You can't handle the big things because you won't take care of those. You need to be faithful in the small things, and as you're faithful in the small things, God will give you more. And this is the teaching of this parable, that God will not continue to bless those who are not faithful with the smaller things. And so you come to these lessons and you see how the Lord is trying to impress upon His listeners, you are considered stewards and you are accountable. You're going to have to give an answer. All right, a whole different book now. Let's go backwards to the book of Matthew, another parable that you'll recognize. Matthew chapter 25. Read a little bit longer portion of Scripture, but I think you'll recognize this. This is a fairly well-known. And by the way, this is going to talk about talents. And I realize that sometimes we talk about talents and people, we assume people know something. A talent here is money. It's not talent in the sense of an ability that we have. A talent was a unit of money. So understand that as we read this parable. Matthew chapter 25. Let's begin reading in verse 14. I've got 15 on the screen, but let's begin reading in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five pieces of silver, talents, and to another two, and to another one. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, let's stop for a second and make sure we understand what happens. This master is going on a long journey, and he has three guys, and he says, men, I'm going to entrust these things to you. I want you to care for them for me. These men are not unfamiliar with the master. Sometimes we think that this master went out and he picked three guys off the street and said, okay, I'm going to give you five, I'm going to give you two, and I'm going to give you one. These were men that knew him very well, and he knew these men well. Because it says specifically that he gave these men according to their ability. To their specific ability, he says, I want you to take these things and I want you to use them. And so he calls these guys in and he says, I'm going to give one of you five, I'm going to give one of you two, and one of you one. And I read somewhere a talent would be a weight of silver. This is quite a bit of money. In our day, you know, we're talking about thousands of dollars. So he says, I'm going to give you this amount of money, and I want you to take care of this. So they know the master, and the master knows them, and he gives them what they can handle. And then he goes away on his journey. Now, let's go back to the story in verse 16. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same, and made other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came back, cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sowed, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow, this is an interesting story. And you and I are at a disadvantage because we don't think in stewardship terms. They did. When the Lord is teaching this message, they thought like a steward would think. And so for you and I, we would look at this and think, okay, here's one guy that takes the initiative with his five and he makes it into 10. Here's one guy that takes the initiative and he has two and he makes 4. And here's another guy and he has the one, he doesn't spend the one. So when the master comes back, he gets his one back. It ought to just kind of be a wash, like, oh, you're kind of lazy, but all right. But that's not how this master looks at it. As a matter of fact, when you do a little reading on this, it would almost seem as if this man was manipulating the system. Not only did he not use that talent to make more money for his master, but it specifically says, you didn't put the money to the exchangers. That is, that for us it would be, you didn't put it in the bank where you would even get interest on it. You hid it. Why would he hide it? Because he was thinking maybe his master would not return and it would be his. And that's probably the best explanation for why at the end he says, cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness. This man is purely selfish. He was hoping that he would never be called into account and he would have this as his own. He was not a faithful steward of that which was entrusted to him. And the more you start studying this story, the more you realize that the point of it is that there are people who think they're not going to be accountable to God. And God has given each of us certain things. And again, we can put them in the time, the talents, the treasures, the truth. He's given us these things, and he said, you are going to be accountable for these things. And the question for us is that when we come to the place where after a long time, and we don't know how long it will be, the master of the slaves comes and settles accounts with them. And this is what you and I have to look forward to, that at some time we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to have to settle accounts for Him. And some have been given tremendous abilities and tremendous advantages. Some, according to their ability, God has given less. And He's not going to hold you accountable for my abilities, but He's not going to hold me accountable for your abilities. You have to stand before the Lord and answer to Him. And you're going to have two choices. You're going to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And throughout our life, how we deal with these things is going to impact the Lord's blessing on us. Now, we're not in prosperity theology, where if you're good, God will continue to give you more. God may change the course. But He has a clear expectation that you would be a good steward of that which is entrusted to you. Your other option is not good. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Well, we don't want that category. We don't want that title on us. And we want to be very mindful that at some point the Master is coming back and I'm going to give an account to Him. I want you to look at one last passage. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, probably a passage that you'll recognize parts of, and as you recognize the parts of it, you'll see how it ties into these things. He's not specifically talking about stewardship in this passage, but it applies to the lesson. And where we looked at this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, he does talk about stewardship, and he makes the application here, but this precedes that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 12. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, every man's work shall be made manifest, or it will become evident. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test the quality of each man's work. It'll try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Here's what the Lord is teaching us. That every person, regardless of what this passage means, which judgment or wherever you're going to put it, and of course we would go through it in an expositional fashion and say, here's what he was teaching. But regardless of how you want to look at this, the emphasis is upon the fact that you're going to be held accountable. I'm going to be held accountable. With what I have, I can build with gold, silver, or precious stones. I can make this valuable, or I can slop it together. I can do something that won't have lasting value. It'll be wood, hay, and straw. And as he talks about this, he says, all of our work, all of our efforts are going to pass through the fire. And the fire's going to declare it. The fire's going to tell you what your work is made of. Some of it's going to stand the test of fire, and you're going to receive a reward for that. Some of it is not going to stand the test. It's going to be burned up. And when it's burned up, you're going to have nothing left. And the key is that you have to make this decision as a steward. God has given us these things. And the motivating factor in all of this is the fact that I'm going to give an account for it. I'm going to give an account as a pastor. You're going to give an account for your family. You're going to give an account for everything the Lord has entrusted to you. And what motivates me is the fact that someday the Master is going to return. And in all of these stories, that's what he was saying. Every one of these individuals had to at some point stand before the one who gave him these things and give an account for what he did. Now again, you and I are far removed from that culture where we think in the terms of stewardship. But these people fully understood that. And this was a mindset that they were in. It was a thought pattern that they had that a steward took care of someone else's possessions. And that steward did not abuse those things. And if he did, he was going to give an answer to that master for it. And the highest thing that's going to happen to us is that we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is going to be there as the judge to whom we are accountable. And our work is going to be evaluated as a steward. And so that makes me come to the place where I ask the question, how am I doing? The very next chapter is the chapter where he begins by saying, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the grace of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards. Here's the basic requirement. Here's the thing that everybody knows. That a man be found faithful. That a man be found trustworthy. It's required in stewards. There's an indispensable element in every steward. He has to be faithful. He has to be trustworthy. If you don't have that, you will not succeed as a steward. And you have to see yourself as a steward of God. He's entrusted to you time. What are you doing with that time? He's entrusted to you talents. How are you using those? He's entrusted treasures to you. Are you using those in the way the Master wants you to use them, not the way you want to? And truth. He's given you truth, and he said, I want you to take care of this. How are you doing in that? And I hope that each of us can say that we're demonstrating this quality in 1 Corinthians 4:2. It is required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy, that he be found faithful. So here's where you have to look at yourself and evaluate. Am I being faithful? You have to be the faithful, trustworthy servant so that when you meet the Lord, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to finish tonight by singing the song that we've been playing in the mornings. And that's the song, May the Lord Find Us Faithful. And so let me ask you to take a hymnal tonight and turn to number 398 in your songbook. And as we sing that song, we'll sing it as a conclusion to this and hopefully as a testimony, as a prayer to the Lord. May the Lord find us faithful in everything that we're doing. It fits what we've studied and it reminds us of the responsibilities that we have. 398, let's stand together, please. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey.